Know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns. Get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns at any time and everywhere. Vic, I know you go way back with Kevin Acey. I've had the opportunity through my other career in fantasy sports to speak with him on numerous occasions over the last 5-6 years. Right. I very much respect his opinions. I find him to be very knowledgeable and a guy who does not sugarcoat things whatsoever. And I found his glowing endorsement of Ken Wisenhunt very interesting.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It was spoken as someone who's an objective, down-the-middle observer rather than someone with any kind of agenda. And Kevin was a beat guy covering the Chargers for a long time. Now he's a columnist there. So he's still very close to the team and very connected there. And I like how he was able to kind of compare and contrast, certainly with North Turner, whom he covered while covering the Chargers. And then the newer staff, the mixture with Mike McCoy, with Frank Reich there as quarterback's coach. And I know Frank very well from his days of quarterbacking the Buffalo Bills, covered him there for many years, his whole career there. And philosophically, there's like a blend, and this has always been something about Ken Wisenhunt that I've liked, a willingness to listen to new ideas, to incorporate what is being done that might be different than the way he sees things. And I'm going to take a leap of faith here. I've not been told this specifically by anyone in the search process, leading the search process for the Browns, Joe Banner or Jimmy Haslam. But given what I know of what they set out to do in terms of looking for this more, these progressive thinkers, you hear that type of phraseology in this process, that I think it's important to them that someone is open-minded like Ken Wisenhunt, even though he's been a head coach, even though he's had a team in the Super Bowl and could by all rights say, hey, look, I've got this mostly figured out or all figured out. I know what I'm doing. But he has been fired from a head coaching job. So he lost that job. And ultimately, the reason, and Kevin Acey got into this, he didn't have a quarterback. You know, it happens with you take away a good quarterback, coach usually gets fired, or you don't have a quarterback, good quarterback to begin with. Coach tries to work with what he has, doesn't find one, he gets fired. Quarterbacks fire or keep coaches employed for a long time. That's just how this works in this league. And I think for Ken Wisenhunt's sake, given what he went through in Arizona, it might be a harder sell for him to look at the Browns now with not knowing who that guy is, what that guy will be. We can throw out all the names, John Football and everybody else from the collegiate level. That really doesn't mean anything other than
proven NFL commodity.
Right. Prospect guy. Who's proven? Matthew Stafford, very proven. And in Detroit, you know, I don't know how folks are reacting to it there, but it would be a logical step for them to go from defensive dude that they had with Jim Schwartz, big physical defensive front. And where did they fall short? Matthew Stafford had a lot of fourth quarter blowups. Ken Wisenhunt would be hired with the idea of trying to fix that.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting just looking across my Twitter feed, and we want you guys to call us up and give your opinions, 216-578-0850. Tweet the show at Browns_daily. Now that Ken Wisenhunt has been added to the mix, where do you stand? Where do you see him as a viable candidate? But just going through, if you were to go on Twitter and look up Ken Wisenhunt's name, in Cleveland it seems like he's not a popular choice, and in Detroit everybody seems to want him to be the choice. So a very interesting kind of dichotomy dynamic there.
Do Browns fans like anybody, though? That's
I don't know. I don't know.
I haven't heard many.
They don't like anybody in this building, that's for sure.
All right, they don't like anybody in the building, and I don't think they like anybody that anybody in the building has put out there as candidates, right? Generally speaking, I think that's fair to say. And anytime you come up with a name, they want another name. They say, well, what about this guy who's might not even be considered by any other team? Just because he's not on the list. And look, it's not, I wrote this for ClevelandBrowns.com. Because the list isn't recognizable, mostly for names, they're not household names or even popular names if you follow football, doesn't mean this is bad. Doesn't mean this won't work, okay? All it means is they're looking for the quality in one of these individuals that can be special for this football team. And it does follow the pattern of what Joe Banner did back in Philadelphia, it's 15 seasons ago now in Philly, when Andy Reid was the quarterback's coach for the Green Bay Packers, working for Mike Holmgren, and Joe Banner interviewed him. They took a look at him, Jeffrey Lurie, their owner, and decided he'd be their coach. In Philly, that was ripped to shreds. In the media, they said, who is this Andy Reid guy, and are you crazy? There were head coaching, there were candidates with head coaching background who were passed over for Andy Reid, and no one in Philly was buying that one bit. They hated it. They despised it. And then 14 years later, we know the rest of the story. He had a lot of success there. He's still not there, but he was there for 14 years for a reason. They had a lot of success.
Absolutely. It's in, you want to try to recapture that magic. That's a little bit risky. It's interesting. Ken Whisenhunt is the one guy who brings now that's left here that brings NFL head coaching experience. He's been to a Super Bowl. He's been to the divisional round of the playoffs twice in six seasons. And I know people say, well, it fell apart at the end. The Browns fans would be thrilled to have gone to a Super Bowl and get to a divisional playoff round twice in the last six seasons. That just hasn't happened here. Right. So I'm not saying, to me, if you're looking on that for those credentials, he's got the most upside. I think what he's done in San Diego this year, to me, has been very, very impressive. You look at what he's done with Philip Rivers, 4,478 yards, 32 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. In many ways, a career year for Philip Rivers in terms of his overall efficiency. Third most yards of his career, 8.2 yards per attempt, that's good. The second best touchdown to interception ratio of his entire career. So he has been as effective as ever. And on top of that, you have Ryan Matthews also enjoying a career year for the San Diego Superchargers. You have Danny Woodhead enjoying a career year for the San Diego Chargers with over 1,000 total yards and 8 touchdowns. And when you look at what the Browns will hopefully have, they will have a quarterback. They've got dominant receiver in Josh Gordon, a tight end that can be used. They will bring in somebody to be the primary running back, and you could envision Deion Lewis fitting that Danny Woodhead type of a mold. So in many ways, it's not a bad fit because he had that success in San Diego with really one receiver. Keenan Allen's really been the only receiver that's really stepped up for that team. Eddie Royal's got the touchdowns, but nobody else over 50 catches or over 630 yards. In fact, Royal, the only other receiver over 500 yards there. Some of the things about it line up. I like the fact that people seem very confident that he is a leader of men, that he is can be a fiery guy who can hold people accountable, and it sounds like in many ways that's what the Browns need. But on the other side, you get the sense that Joe Banner wants to go ahead and have a blank slate and bring in one of these young guys. It's an interesting dichotomy, and to me, it's an interesting situation that we find ourselves in, given that it was at one time stated that these guys, Ken Whisenhunt, wouldn't be looked at because he was interviewed last year. So what has changed, I wonder?
Yeah, that is a great question, and we need to get an answer to that. At some point, the people who are leading this thing hopefully will provide those answers. They've gone, you know, it's radio silence, to say the least, including our show. We're not hearing from them, and we've been told that expect that to be the case until the search is complete and the candidate is found. I'm sticking with the notion that that is what they want to do. They want to bring in the guy with the blank slate. That's what they've talked about. The fact that they're interviewing Whisenhunt, and by the way, that whole concept of blank slate, they did go through an interview with a former head coach in Josh McDaniels. And now Ken Whisenhunt joins the list, apparently, of those who have been head coaches. For the most part, that hasn't been the way this search has been defined, but that is how they're going about it. And I'd say this much. When it's all said and done, what their strategy is, who in terms of who they're talking about, means nothing, or means a heck of a lot less than if the person they hire, whoever it might be, is successful. Does it really matter? And that was another big point I made on ClevelandBrowns.com. The hire of the coach, the winning of the press conference, the introductory press conference, means crap. It doesn't mean anything. That isn't what, you don't get a big bounce in ticket sales or merchandise sales or sponsorships. You hire a coach. Right now, Browns fans are all skeptical, as they should be, beyond skeptical, you know, that they don't, I mean, you bring anybody in, whoever that name is, he's just a name and a guy who's filling that position. Number, it would be what, 15 full-time, and I think 17 or 18 counting interim coaches. So that's a lot of coaches and a whole bunch, that's in the history of the team, and a whole bunch since 1999. Let's go to 216-578-0850. Lance in Cleveland is with us now. Hello, Lance.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I like that Wizard Hunt thing. I really do. If they bring in, I'm not crazy about Johnny Manziel, but they bring him in, he's a playmaker if something happens. That's all I want to do is see a good spark, man. That's, and maybe get the center sign or the safety one.
Why do you like Wizard Hunt, Lance?
I just like him. I mean, it's just, I'd rather, they already tried it, the fresh start with Chud, and they basically threw him aside, which, you know, if they bring in and it's dumb, just like him. So, okay. You know, I hate to say it. I mean, but I like Wizard Hunt. That's what I'm going to say. So.
Thanks. John in Canton, you're up next. Hey, John.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. I wanted to also endorse Ken Wizenhunt. I think he's one of those guys that has a presence to him, like one of those guys that walks in the room and the room just goes completely silent. So I think that's exactly what the Browns need, because you know, they get all these, like Chud, no one really knew who he was, at least I think a lot of the general public didn't. And I think with Ken Wizenhunt, they'll be like, oh, okay, well, this guy coached here, here, and here as a head coach and has had some decent success. So I think that's who they need, is some guy with an aura, with a presence to him.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that he offers that is different. He obviously is known, and with being known comes some good and some bad in terms of his track record in Arizona, and we hope to speak with somebody who played with him prominently in Arizona tomorrow here on Cleveland Browns Daily, and if we can get that, it'll be certainly a very good and I think very illuminating interview. But he does have that kind of track record. He does have the fact that he's been around successful teams. You know, when he was in Pittsburgh, obviously they won a Super Bowl. He's now in San Diego. They're going on a very nice playoff run. He had his success in Arizona, as I talked about, the 2 years where they went to the playoffs, and he went 4-2 in the playoffs in those two seasons.
Kevin in North Olmsted wants to weigh in.
Hello, gentlemen. I would align with a lot of other people about this, because I think Wizenhunt would be extraordinary. I wanted him a year ago. I wanted him, what was it, back in, there's so many coaches, I can't remember the timetable. What was it, 2007, I believe, he
something
was hired
like that
by Arizona. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, people forget that he's got that Pittsburgh Steeler kind of foundation of wanting to run the ball, but a lot of people forget that Super Bowl against the Seahawks when he called the wide receiver pass. You know, from Randall L. to Hines Ward. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that basically put Pittsburgh, put the game away for them. So I think he's got the right mix. I absolutely think that he's a player's coach and, more importantly, will be able to get the most out of people. But you make a great point earlier when you say that, you know, the only time he's faltered is when he did not have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And so with that uncertainty, we could be cautious about that. But I see no one, absolutely no one in this universe of coaches that are looking at that even compares to what I believe that Wizenhunt could do for the Browns. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Kevin, very much.
So we're 3-for-3 in terms of a positive vibe about Ken Wizenhunt being the guy right now.
Yeah, and I think most of it's driven by known versus unknown, and that's an obvious way to go, to say, look, we've seen this guy coach in a Super Bowl. We've seen this guy work and have success with Kurt Warner. We've seen good things from an available candidate that a lot of folks felt wouldn't be out there very long, and continuing to see good work as an assistant coach, a coordinator on a team in the postseason right now, the San Diego Chargers. So for those reasons, it doesn't surprise me that people are going to feel better and more confident. Personally, I mean, I think the world of him. I would love him to be the head coach of the Browns, the next head coach of the Browns. I would love to work with him, because we get an opportunity to do that in this show and other media platforms. But that doesn't matter to the mix here. And I think he'd be great for that. And I think he'd be a great guy to carry the message through. And I think a caller said something to the effect of how his coaching presence in a room. Yeah, Ken's got that. You know, a former player, former assistant coach, has been through the ranks, knows the AFC North. There's a lot to like here. Why that didn't make him an immediate obvious guy, I don't know. Is there strategy behind the timing of bringing him into this or not? And we don't know that either. So our guess is as good as yours. But
I just got to think, the thing that troubles me about this and getting excited about Ken Wizenhunt and what he could potentially bring is I think it's going to be very hard to convince him to come here over Detroit with Matthew Stafford.
Sure. I fully agree. He's a long shot for that reason alone. I mean, maybe there will be other reasons to make him a long shot. That's the biggest, yes. Well, we're going to have Jim Donovan at the top of the hour. We want to get the thoughts from the voice of the Browns, from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, play-by-play announcer. More of your calls, 216-578-0850. Want to hear from you and your tweets at Browns_daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, ESPN 850, WKNI.